morning. You are listening to KBOO
Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. We want to apologize. We've had some problems, and hopefully we're on the air at this time. This may be due to weather conditions, or as some of our conspiracy theorists might think, it's because of our advocacy for free speech. In any case, we welcome you and thank you for joining us this morning. Today is Monday, December 19th. The year is 2005. It is approximately 7:45 a.m. I am Cecil. Celeste will join us via phone. And again, this is More Talk Radio. We certainly invite your conversations, and we will have an open forum this day. Part of that is a few rules, and let's see if we can get Pat Celeste in to see if we can get her in, and maybe she can explain the rules of open forum. Celeste, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Oh, okay. That was kind of a tentative sure.
I think we're having some problems with your phone, but we'll keep you on. Hopefully it will improve. Again, this is an open forum. Today is Monday. This is an opportunity for you to share your thoughts and opinions. We'll give you approximately 2.5 to 3 minutes to speak on any topic that is...
any topic of your choosing, with the exception of one.
Yes, yes. This is a special day. And Celeste, why don't you tell us what we will not talk about today?
Well, as some of you who've been listening to More Talk Radio may have remembered, some time ago we had a moratorium on guns, gun control, any issues surrounding guns. And it wasn't that we wished to stifle free speech. We had just pretty much said all that could be said. There was nothing new coming out about the issue. And we'd heard just about every opinion expressed, and some of those a few times. So the thought was it was time to lay it to rest. Well, we're going to do the same thing with 9/11 and all related issues. And the idea is, yes, there's a lot of information out there. Yes, there's a lot of concern about it. Yes, sometimes we hear what might actually be new information. However, at this point, at this time, there's a lot of, well, more pressing things to discuss. It's not that that's not important, and the underlying concerns of people being afraid of a government lying to them, of a government-sanctioned cover-up, of us having a lot less control over our lives, over our safety, over the information about our lives and safety, over the lives and our information about our government, is frightening. But, alas, it is not pressing anymore.
Well, and I suppose there ought to be one caveat about that, since we last talked about this, Celeste. The recent revelations of the president's spying on American citizens and his continuing justification of 9/11 might lead to some conversations around the issues around government surveillance and 9/11. But we don't want to talk too much or at all about the towers and what went down that particular day.
Or who moved what rubble.
Unless it has some bearing on more general topics. Having said that, you know, this is free speech, and so we'll see how it goes. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. We invite your calls for any topics. This is open forum. This is More Talk Radio. And we have a caller online, so we'll go to that caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
And...
maybe not.
Maybe not. Some of you might have heard the president's speech last evening and his remarks this weekend on, his rather arrogant position in terms of spying on American citizens. Certainly it's a time of real concern. And I mentioned earlier, I was going to talk about some action that took place around the United States this past week around the House budget. But let me preface that by just noting that in light of the president's admission of spying and rather proudly doing so, you know, yes, I spied and, you know, so be it. It's interesting to see how the mainstream media have certainly just waking up and having some concerns around that. Just searching through some editorials this weekend, I saw among those the Los Angeles Times and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, both stated editorials which are concerns about the move towards a police state. The LA Times editorial, Sunday editorial, was entitled Bigger Brother, and in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, it was also titled Big Brother Bush, the President Took a Step Toward a Police State. Let's go to our caller, and maybe it's the President. Good morning.
No, it's not the President.
Oh, the President is listening.
Oh, more than likely he is. Actually, I got knocked off the air, but I had an editorial, you know, the one I had told you about, that I had wanted to read to everyone, and that was kind of the punctuation, if you will, for the moratorium on 9/11. And it's an article entitled Threshold Fears and Unanswered Questions About 9/11 by Peter Phillips. And this was our swan song and the beginning of our moratorium here. For many Americans, there's a deep psychological desire for the 9/11 tragedy to be over. The shock of the day is well remembered, and terrorist alerts from Homeland Security serve to maintain lasting tensions and fears. The 9/11 Commission report gave many a sense of partial healing and completion, especially given the corporate media's high praise of the report. There is a natural resistance to naysayers who continue to question the U.S. government version of what happened on September 11, 2001. This resistance is rooted in our tendency toward the inability to conceive of people we know as evil. Instead, evil ones must be others, very unlike ourselves. We all remember as young children scary locations that created deep fears. We might imagine monsters in the closet, dangers in a nighttime backyard, the creepy people in some abandoned house down the street. As we get older, we build up the courage to open the closet or walk out into the backyard or to smell the night air. As adults, there are still dark closets in our sociocultural consciousness that make it impossible to even consider the possibility of truthfulness of certain ideas. These fearful ideas might be described as threshold concepts, and that they might be on the borders of discoverability. Yet we deny even the potentiality of implied veracity. Something is so evil it is completely unimaginable. A threshold concept facing Americans is the possibility that the 9/11 Commission report was on many levels a cover-up for the failure of the U.S. government to prevent the tragedy. Deeper past the threshold is the ideas that the report failed to address the sources of external assistance to the terrorists. Investigations in this area might have led to a conclusion that elements of various governments, including our own, not only knew about the attacks in advance, but also may have helped facilitate their implementation. The idea that someone in the government, capital G, of the United States contributed support to such horrific attacks is inconceivable to many. It is a threshold concept that is so frightening that it brings up a state of mind akin to unbelievability. Philosophy / religion professor David Ray Griffin has recently published a book, his findings on the omissions and distortions of the 9/11 report. Griffin's book brings into question the completeness and authenticity of the 9/11 Commission's work. Griffin questions why extensive advance warnings from several countries were not acted upon by this administration, how a major institutional investor knew to buy put options on American and United Airlines before the attack, why photos of the Pentagon immediately after the attack show damage inconsistent with the crash of a 757 airliner. Additionally, Griffin notes questions remain on why the 9/11 Commission failed to address the reports that $100,000 was wired to Muhammad Atta from Saleed Sheikh, an agent for the Pakistan Inter-Service Intelligence, ISI, under the direction of the head of ISI, General Mahmoud Ahmed. General Ahmed resigned his position less than 1 month later. The Times of India reported that Indian intelligence had given U.S. officials evidence of the money transfer ordered by Ahmed and that he was dismissed after the U.S. authorities sought his removal. Also, the 9/11 Commission failed to address the reasons for the collapse of the World Trade Center building 7, more than 6 hours after the attack. WTC 7 was a 47-story steel frame building that had only one small fire on a few floors. WTC buildings 5 and 6 had much larger fires and did not collapse. This led to a number of critics to speculate that WTC 7 was a planned demolition. Overall concerns with the official version of 9/11 have been published and discussed by scholars and writers around the world, including Jim Mars, Nafees Ahmed, Michael Rupert, Cynthia McKinney, Barry Swicker, Webster Tarpley, Michael Chasubdowski, and many others. The response has been to label these discussions as conspiracy theories unworthy of media coverage or further review. Pursuit of critical analysis of these questions is undermined by the psychological barrier about 9/11 issues as a threshold concept, too awful even to consider. We may be on the borders of discovery regarding the possibility of great evil within our own government, and perhaps others outside as well. We must step past the threshold and have the courage to ask the questions, demand answers, and support research in all aspects of this American tragedy. Perhaps the closet isn't as dark and as fearful as we envision. If we don't courageously look and stretch into the deepest regions of our fears, how can we assure our children and ourselves a safe and honest future? And this is Peter Phillips. He's a professor of sociology at Sonoma State University and director of Project Censored, the 9/11 Commission Report. And there you have it.
Now, I'm a bit confused, Celeste.
Yes.
I thought we would put a hold on 9/11 discussion.
We did. That was my period, if you will, the punctuation for it.
Oh, you really think that's going to be a period?
Well, here's this. This is what I'm trying to do is let people know we have not abandoned the idea that a search for truth is necessary by any means. We're not going to ignore the complicity of members of our own government and the corporate partners of our government. But there comes a point where, much like with the conversation with guns, there will be some things that will come out of this, no doubt, that we may at some point revisit. And like you said, there are still connections to broader issues of our so-called idea of privacy or concept of privacy, of our desire and right to have a government that truly does look out for the benefit and the welfare of the people and not necessarily just spy on us for its own small needs. And there's so many more other points that I could bring up with
okay.
You know, but the thing is right here, right now, we have, as with the information that we have right now, discussed it as much as we can. Now, if something breaks, we will talk. We will open it back up. But for right now, there are a lot of other issues that I think that we could discuss and open ourselves up to a broader audience. And it's not as though we've never discussed it. It's just now we're going to take a short rest.
Okay.
An indefinite rest.
Okay. Well, as we have a caller online, and let me remind our listeners that you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. And our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we'll open up the phone lines. And thank you for waiting. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. And you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's nice that everything's frozen for a minute. I just had a quick comment, and it's actually taking issue with the moratorium. I think it's absurd. I don't understand why we would need some kind of nurses to help us to think about whatever it is that we might think. I still don't understand the idea. Do you get too many calls about 9/11?
Oftentimes we do, and I think the reasoning behind, you know, so-called moratorium was that so that other people could call and talk about other issues.
I want to understand if there's just a dearth of callers about 9/11. But it really is a fearsome thing to have anything off the table until further notice.
Well, no, and perhaps it it came across as too harsh. Of course,
Not too harsh. It's just I really don't get the point.
Okay, Celeste.
Well, just for one thing, the conversations haven't, with the exception of the gentleman who called in some time ago and gave us a website, the conversations haven't been that productive. I'm not hearing anything new, with the exception that we've been spied on. But to be perfectly honest, who didn't think we were?
Wait a minute, you asked me
a question. Let me finish, please. And then thirdly, I personally have really talked about it as much as I want to talk about.
Well,
I know that might sound kind of harsh. Pardon?
But it's not harsh. It's not harsh, but I think as the conductor of the forum, you have a responsibility to listen to anything comes your way and take advantage of the words that fly in your ears. And if somebody has something to say about 9/11 that doesn't have something to do with a conspiracy theory, but has something to do with a deep part of their psyche that needs to be said on air, you should be prepared for that.
Well, I think that what you're saying has some veracity, and I would have to be a hypocrite if I didn't address that as I just brought it up in an article. However, having been a healthcare worker, yeah, okay, you have a valid point.
If
that is the nature and the substance of the call, then so be it. Then we talk. If it's something else, though, I mean, I don't want to discuss who picked up the rubble anymore. I don't want to discuss
the
demo. We get calls about, we had a gentleman on last week. We talked about the trade deficit, China's entrance into the trade arena and some of the issues that they face nationally. We didn't even get a chance to do much more than scratch the surface, really. And we had some gentleman who called up, and he wanted to discuss whether or not China bought the rubble that had been moved from the Trade Center building, or whether they had removed it. And it's like, it was not a point of interest. Maybe not,
but, you know, you got to be open to everything. That's unfortunate that you're getting boring conversation. But still, you have to stay open to the one caller that might be ready to say something that is, I guess, fresh to you. But, I mean, that's the whole idea of free speech, and it's really fearsome to hear anything being put on moratorium, especially something that was a national tragedy that has really defined a number of generations, I'd say.
Okay.
It's really intense.
And as this conversation is proof that nothing can be forbidden from speech. So
I don't think so.
Ever want to make it seem as though it's forbidden, because
moratorium is a strong word, ma'am.
I appreciate your view, and I mean I'm going to give it some consideration and figure out I might, for example, if it's an open forum, that's one issue, because we do try to keep it as open as possible.
Okay.
Maybe I won't entertain those kind of questions when it has nothing to do with our topic.
Yeah, well, I hope you don't get too many conspiracy or boring theory ideas coming on the air, but
oh no, we get plenty. We get plenty of conspiracy theories. This
is
central.
I've heard a lot of them. I get them too.
Okay.
All right.
That's about enough. I just am glad that you're on the air still.
Hey,
and,
for the moment.
I'll listen to anything you have to say. Just beware.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
Thanks for your call.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187. Today is Monday, December 19th, 2005. It is approximately 8:10 a.m., and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Hello.
And we'll try to get that caller again. Caller, you are on the air.
Hear me. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Now we can.
Okay, terribly sorry about that. I have to say, I have some agreeance with the previous caller, I'd like to possibly approach this in a somewhat different manner, as opposed to laying down a moratorium, as you use the word, perhaps just suggest two or three good topics to discuss. And that way there's a natural guiding away from the topic that you do not wish to discuss.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Except for open forum, we allow folks to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And sometimes we get bogged down in one issue instead of being able to broaden it. We haven't really sat down and done a topic-only show with just the two of us in a while, because we've been bringing on lots of guests who have just had really amazing things to talk about and very relevant things. But with open forum, I hesitate to just have two or three topics and let people talk about that only because it's pretty much the same thing. It's like, okay, this is all you can talk about.
Right.
Whereas with open forum, you can talk about anything but this one thing.
Right, but see, and that seems to me the problem. And then you can't exactly call it an open topic, an open forum. I mean, it's rather like the Christian church is saying, we all love you if you're not gay.
Excellent point, caller.
Just doesn't work.
Okay. Hey.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, and this is an exciting thing in terms of having this type of call-in program because
yes, it is.
We get feedback and we're open to change, unlike the President of the United States. Oh, my gosh. I just love it now that the President is not love it that the President is spying on us, but I think one way in which we can challenge that is to call it for what it is.
We call it exactly what it is. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, who didn't think that this was an issue? You know, on a macro level, yes, we expect it's been done. Goodness, how many times have we pulled up surveillance on various groups and talked about it? Just one I'll pull out. At the Black Panther Party, for example.
Certainly.
You know,
and
Martin Luther King, for example.
And this isn't new. Let's see what our caller has to say. Good morning,
right.
Caller.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think being flexible is good, but I want to say that when there are certain topics that you, the hosts of this program, have chosen, then you should be allowed to explore that topic, you know, as much as you can in the time that you have allotted. So people should be aware of that also. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was quick to the point. And, you know, that's part of my concern about having discussions. I don't want to give anyone the opinion that I don't want to hear it if it's a substantive conversation. It's just that sometimes we end up digressing so far away from a specific topic. You know, if we're going to be the conspiracy theorist, you know, talk show host, then, you know, if that's what it is, that's what it is. I don't know. What do you think, Cecil?
Well, I think one part of the challenge in terms of a open forum or in terms of open discussion is the ability to allow people to share what's on their mind. But also, in terms of a discussion, it's a give and take. Oftentimes, I hear people state a point and say it over and over and over again and not open to dialogue. And I think that's the challenge that I want to offer to people, regardless of the topic that you are interested in, to be open to listen to others and hear feedback.